Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something that we've actually never really talked about in detail here on the show. And like I said, over the last 5 years, you know, it's a lot of topics we've done. So I've constantly find myself trying to come up with new and creative topics, you know, different perspectives to take. And tonight, what we're going to get into is something that really everybody can relate to on some level. That topic is flirting, okay? You know, have you ever been accused of being a flirt? You know, a lot of people are in relationships. Flirting is one of those things that, just being a counselor, I hear a lot of. Even with some of my couples counseling, it's like, you know, my mate, my boyfriend is, you know, he flirts with women. My girlfriend, she can be a little too flirtatious. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to define that term and we're going to figure out exactly what needs to happen for you to not be a flirt. We're going to define the definition of flirting as well as certain terms like harmless flirting or innocent flirting or things like that. So definitely going to be a good topic. We're even going to get in a little bit deeper into it and discuss the differences between flirting and actual cheating. So, you know, we're going to also, you know, I get a lot of questions about office romances. Everybody's been asking me to talk about that for years, actually, and we've never done a whole show on just you know, hooking up, you know, stuff that goes on at the water cooler, what are some of the stuff that happens after these happy hours. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I know Courtney knows what I'm talking about. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, man. If you can relate to any of these issues or topics, definitely feel free. You know, tonight's going to be one of those laid back shows. Phone lines are open, 646-200-0366. You know, if you want to do any type of Ask Dadon advice questions throughout the show, feel free to call in, hit the number one on your keypad. Like I said, Courtney's here with us tonight. Courtney, what's going on with you? How you feeling tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What do you think about this topic, flirting? You know, you know anything about being flirtatious?
Yes, I do. that's something I do know about, and it's something that I struggled with myself. And so I'm just very excited to talk about it. And when I was looking at it online, I thought it was a new topic because all this time that I've listened to the show, just as a listener, I don't remember this being a topic. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about it, too. Definitely going to be a new perspective. Shout out to some of the new listeners. You know, I got a lot of new listeners I found after Tuesday night show. Tuesday night was obviously Barbershop Talk Tuesdays, where it was very unscripted. You know, it was, we've done a lot of Barbershop Talks over the years. Never have we done just a nothing but Ask Dadon, you know, advice, just, you know, questions and topics and just things that naturally come up in barbershops around the country. So that's what we did on Tuesday night. And, you know, a lot of people, you heard what you heard. You know, it was as real as it gets. So definitely shout out to everyone who heard it. If you didn't, all the archive shows can be heard at DadonTolbert.com. I want to jump right into it. Like I said, we're not going to be around all night tonight. This is going to be the longest show we've ever done. But I did want to take some time just to I have a great, great, great testimony that I want to share with you guys a little bit later on, man. You know, I do, like I said, I do counseling and, you know, even doing this show. The whole point of it, you know, at the end of the day, is to help people find love. You know, it's to have that everyone, I believe that God desires us all to be in love. And so when I hear these testimonies, it's just confirmation to, you know, what we know what Courtney and I both do night in and night out. So, and I posted that online. A lot of you got a chance to check it out. Tune in, you know, keep tuned in, stay tuned in. A little bit later, I'll read that. Courtney, I don't know if you get a chance to check out what I'm talking about, that great testimony.
I sure did. I commented on it. Yep.
Good. That's what's up, man. So shout out to her. Like I said, I like to leave people anonymous, but, you know, because I like to respect people's privacy. But anyone who would like to share a testimony or even a question or anything, you can send those to askdadon@trctoday.com. Like I said, I'll, you know, read it on the show, maybe post it online. It might even find its way into, into one of the magazines that I write for. Real quick, to a lot of you may or may not know, my first book was obviously The Love We Had, which is being re-released on Valentine's Day. A lot of people are excited about that. My second book, a lot of people don't know, and I'm going to be re-releasing that as well. But, you know, I just kind of put it out just to kind of do it, but I'm going to do it like real big next time around. But my second book was actually Ask Dadon, Sex, Dating, and Relationships, Volume 1. Okay? Now, that is basically a compilation of your advice questions that you guys have sent over the years. When I re-release it, I'm going to be adding some of these additional questions to it. So definitely I'll look out for that, you know, coming up. Now, let's jump into it, Courtney. There was, you know, last night I posted something online that was a lot of people had. It was interesting. It was a couple different perspectives to it. A lot of people saw from different sides. This is what was said. I said, ladies, a fat butt, you know, a big booty, and a pretty face will not get you a ring. Okay, I said that. However, a great personality and a love for God will get you a ring. And I think that a lot of people are, you know, like I said, we talk about this on a regular basis, but, you know, you got to stop watching TV, guys. You got to stop listening to these thirsty dudes, these cornballs out there who are doing nothing but chasing these big butts around, thinking that that is what, you know, we look for in a wife. You know, that will not get you a ring. Wearing tight clothes, wearing your breast out, that's just, that'll get you sex. That'll get you two kids, you know, and a bad attitude because that man isn't around and you got to carry around a 5-pound car seat, you know, with one arm everywhere you go. That's not a good look. You know, big butts don't get you wifed up. You know, I said online earlier, I mean, everybody nowadays has a big butt. These men know it. I mean, I don't know what's going on out here. Back in the day, I mean, even the white girls got big butts now. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. Courtney, anything you want to add to that from a female perspective? I mean, I know you see a lot of these girls walking around half naked, but they're thinking that's going to get them a ring. They're thinking that that's going to get them cuffed up. This is cuffing season. It's getting cold out. That's not going to get you. I mean, actually, that might actually get you a little friend for this season, but it's not going to get you love, and it's definitely not going to get you a ring. Courtney, any thoughts on it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something that I could personally relate to. That's what I thought I had to do. That's what I thought men were looking for, you know, just to wear the tight clothes and, you know, to show off your, you know, assets. You know, I thought that you had to do that in order to get that attention. And now, like, looking back, I see how much it was a cry for help. And I see it every day, like, on my way to work. You know, I see, you know, women come on the train, and it's just so obvious that they're searching. They're really, really searching for that attention. And it's really sad. And a lot of the times, you know, they don't believe in themselves, and they actually may have a great personality, but they don't believe in themselves, so they feel like they have to show off their body, that no one will like them for who they truly are. And that's the sad part.
It's actually very sad, because as we talk about this whole flirting concept, that's where that comes from. It all originates from a lack of self-esteem. And I think that, you know, and what you didn't receive, is, you know, from your father growing up a lot of times, so you're seeking that attention from men. So to get attention that you think will ultimately get you what you want, which is love, you're wearing the seductive outfits. And, you know, just as we talk about corporate America, as we talk about, you know, this whole office flirtation thing, you know, please understand, like I tell you all the time, I've been in corporate America for years. Like, I left for good about 2 years ago, but prior to that, I was in corporate America for really over 10 years, if you really want to count college. I worked for a couple companies when I was in college, some internships and things like that. So I have a pretty long, you know, career in corporate America. I've seen a lot of things, and nowadays, even in the most professional of settings, you know, my career mainly was in banking. So banking, if you know anything about it, is business attire, you know, but you had the tellers coming in like, you know, tights, you know, not even spandex, but like, you know, those, they're slacks, so they wouldn't get written up, but like the slacks couldn't get any tighter. that real thin material, the button-up shirts that were extra tight, buttons popping off, you know, like two buttons undone, so like it's coming right above the cleavage. I mean, you know, that one, that's just not sexy. You know, that's actually slutty. It looks ridiculous, actually. And a lot of people think that that men are going to be attracted to that. But just you need to understand that we as men, okay, we're not, unless you're gay, you know, unless you like dudes, you know, the head might turn. Please, and I just want to tell women this, please don't mistake a man looking at you when you dress like that. You catch a man staring. Please don't mistake a man staring at your breast, or you catch him trying to get a glimpse down your shirt, or him checking you out as you bend over. Please don't mistake that attention for a man actually wanting to talk to you, or wanting a relationship with you, or even wanting to get to know you on any level other than in the bedroom. That's, you know, and what you, and I think a lot of times what happens is, as we get into flirting, that's the, you know, that's the bridge. That's like the introduction. You know, you wear the tight clothes, he says something to compliment you, which causes you to smile and say thank you, then that causes him to follow that up with something else, and then y'all get into this little playful exchange. That's called flirting. So you say, oh, he tried to talk to me, or he's interested in me. He flirted with me, so he likes me. No, he doesn't like you. He just sees a big butt, a fat ass, you know, some big breasts, and so he's automatically into sex mode. How fast can I hit that? What can I say to her that will help me get sex from her? Courtney, I mean, what is it with these? I mean, what needs to be said so that these women get it?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy out here because we really are clueless. And a lot of times we don't know. It's like we want the man to take us seriously, and so we want to create this fantasy in our head, because deep down we've never had a man. A lot of us have never had a man take us seriously, so it's like something that we want. And so we think that we have to show our body to get it. And it's crazy because, you know, like you said, the man doesn't even want us like that. It's only for sex. And a lot of times we'll flirt with men that are taken, and we'll create this, like, idea in our head that, okay, he's flirting with me. That means he's interested, and he's going to leave his girlfriend for me. And that's not how it goes at all.
That's not how it goes, ladies. A man, and this is the thing, you know, and some, let me just say this. Some of these men out here are bastards. Okay, and this is really where it gets deep. Because like you said, Courtney, a lot of these men are taken. A lot of these men are married in relationships. And because they see a big butt, you're assuming that, and he says a little something in a flirtatious manner, even though you know he's taken, you mistake that for, oh, he's going to leave his wife for me. He's going to leave his girlfriend for me. When in reality, it's just, you know, a lot of times it's just in a man's nature to flirt. It's really in human nature, to be honest with you. It's really the law of attraction. You know, it's two attractive people are naturally going to be attracted to each other. You know, it's like two magnets. They're just going to be drawn to each other. And when you have that attraction, it's just something that happens. Now, depending on the person, is going to determine how you respond to that. Do you indulge in that attraction, or do you keep it respectful? Do you do the Christian thing and just keep it professional? But the attraction is going to be, I mean, Courtney, do you know what I'm talking about? You ever had that just natural attraction to someone? If you're an attractive person and you're with somebody who's also attractive, you just, you know, it's just a natural progression of things to flirt?
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's how it goes. It's actually something that you have to resist. It's not like, I want to flirt with him because I'm attracted to him. It's not even something that you think about doing. It's you automatically are going to have that natural inclination to flirt. It's the unnatural thing is to not flirt. And that's what comes. That's how it goes. And I'm telling y'all, man, I'm talking about married, you know, single, engaged. It doesn't matter. You know, you have to actively try not to sin. You know, and that's one of the things that the Bible talks about as far as, you know, resisting the temptation and the devil will flee. Do you guys know that sometimes he will actually present people in your spiritual walk who not so much that are that great of people or are so attractive, but just that you would, he knows that you would struggle with that. He knows that that's your weakness. So he'll place that person in your path specifically as a roadblock to hinder you from getting closer to God. You ever been hindered, Courtney? You know anything about being hindered as a Christian?
You're trying to be funny now. Yes. Yes.
See, that's it real quick. Hold on, Courtney, real quick. That's like a, for everybody who doesn't get it, I mean, that's like an inside joke between me, not just me and Courtney, but anyone who's done private counseling with me. You know, we do this whole thing of being the signs and the symptoms and the roadblocks that the devil will set to try to hinder you from that spiritual walk with God, which is really the whole point and the only way you're going to find love with that special person. So definitely, if you're not in on the joke, you know you don't know what we're talking about being hindered. You don't know what to look out for. You might want to call me at 855-55-DATON or shoot me an email at info@trctoday.com. My bad, Courtney. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's
just had to
cool.
Throw that little plug in there.
I know. I was about to
get
say.
get that bread. You know what I mean?
I feel you. Yeah, it's definitely something I could relate to, especially, you know, like you said, when you are getting close to God, that's when all the stuff happens. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people aren't able to withstand that temptation because most of the time the temptation is probably strong, like the strongest you've ever experienced, simply because you've, you know, chosen to live right. And so I can definitely relate to what you're saying.
Yeah, and let me just tell y'all, see, and like Courtney said, the temptation is as strong as it's ever been and ever will be when you were living right. That's, we hear a lot of jokes. A couple weeks ago, we did an all-time, maybe the best show ever, probably, 2 weeks ago on Barbershop Talk, where we talked about, where we had the fellas, the panel of elite men from around the country, talking about the good girls, the church girls, you know, or the women who give off that appearance, but behind closed doors turn into super freaks. I mean, we talked about it. I mean, and that is actually very true for many women out here. But there's a reason for that, which we talked about also, because it's you're trying to live right. You're not just going to the club and sleeping in on Sunday morning. You know, you're actually saying, well, look, I want to live right. Well, then that obviously he's going to tempt you even more. Because just so you know, a lot of times you're not tempted. You don't feel that strong pull in the opposite direction. That's because you're already on your way to hell. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but that's just you're already living in sin. You're not even doing anything. So the devil has you, so there's no need to continue to work on you. But once you say, all right, I'm saved, I love God, I want to do right, well, then that's when the devil steps his game up. Just so y'all know. And that's when he'll throw those people who he knows you have a harder time resisting the temptation. So let's talk about it, though. Let's, you know, we're talking about flirting tonight, something we've really never talked about too much. We got to really answer the question of what is flirting, right? I mean, like, what is that? A lot of people say, well, no, I'm not a flirt. I don't flirt. I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of women, they say that. You know, most men will tell you, say that, yeah, I flirt. It is what it is. Like me, back in the day, I flirted. I was a flirt. That's something that I enjoyed doing. It was what it was, and I was good at it. So that's why I think that we need to define it, because I don't know too many men who will say they don't flirt. But you'd be surprised how many women will deny flirting because it's become this, you know, it has a sexual nature to it. You hear that word as a sexual connotation. You know, she's a flirt. That must mean she's a freak, you know, or something of the sort. In reality, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means a lot of times you indulge in what we said earlier, that natural inclination to flirt with a certain person who you're attracted to. So flirting can be anything, all right? Flirting can be, matter of fact, let me let you start it off, Courtney. As a woman who has admitted to being a flirt, you know, back in the day, what was that? What was flirting to you as a woman, since we're talking about women? And then I'll kind of explain how men flirt.
That's a good question. it depended on who I was flirting with, you know, the level of flirtation. So that could be anything from, you know, just giggling, laughing at everything they said, even if it wasn't funny. So, you know, that's prolonging the conversation on purpose. Even though I knew the conversation was clearly over, I just didn't want to end it. So I just kept talking and kept talking, and that was flirting. And then on another level, you know, if I was really feeling that person I was flirting with, it would lead to touching. So, you know, not only am I laughing and giggling and everything, I'm, like, touching you, you know, oh, boy, stop, you know, little stuff like that. And sometimes it would get to the point where, like, you know, a guy would, you know, touch me, and it would be almost, you know, it would be sexual. So it's so many levels of it.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good way to separate the two, because, or even to classify, because there are various levels of flirting. And as Courtney said, the levels are going to depend on the level of attraction to that person or your intentions toward that person. You know, on a lower scale, or what Courtney described is with a very strong sexual attraction, and so the flirting was on that level. You know, when you're talking about touching, when the nature of the conversation is in a sexual manner, it's like little sexual jokes. You know, maybe case in point, you got oh man, you know, I'm on my way back from the gym, you know, and somebody sees me, I got a wife beater on or something, or, you know, maybe even, I don't know, a tight shirt, whatever it is. Oh, you know, she said, oh, you must be, oh, you coming from the gym? Yeah, yeah, coming from the gym. Oh, okay, dad, you look like you just got done work, getting a good workout, huh? You could probably pick up a lot of stuff. How much you bench pressing? No, I don't know, you know, 250, you know, 275, something like that. Oh, okay. Well, dang, I'm only 110, so I know you probably wouldn't have a problem with me. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, these are all actual conversations. I mean, but you know all about those types of conversations, don't you, Courtney?
Yes.
Those are the types of things. Like, now, a lot of women would say, oh, no, we're just having a conversation. This is not, that wasn't flirting. No, it is flirting. That is, you don't flirt with, I think everyone listening can agree, that you don't flirt with people who you're not sexually attracted to. You know what I mean? And people can deny it, you know, or not, I shouldn't even say sexually attracted. People you're not attracted to, you know, because it might not be a sexual attraction, but there's some level of attraction. Like, you don't flirt with people you think are ugly. That just doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? They may flirt with you, and you give them just the freaking ice grill. You know what I mean? Keep it real quick. That ever happened to you? You ever find someone trying to flirt with you who you weren't at all attracted to and you just didn't flirt back?
Yeah, I've definitely had that. You know, they were just all into it, and everything I said was just very monotone, like just to let them know I'm not feeling this at all.
Right. Now, look, so that's the sexual. That's when there is the strong attraction. You know, the level, I mean, some levels of flirting can actually be foreplay, you know, just talking about what you're going to do to that person or what you could do, you know, hypothetically, like in the bedroom. That's like on the more extreme level. But I think we all know that. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time talking about the sexual. I'm talking about when you're actually getting aroused, he's getting aroused. This is, you know, you're talking about sex. That's not even flirting to me. That's like on a whole nother level. That's like you're setting up a sexual encounter. It just, you know, when just remains to be seen. What most people need tonight's show to be about, though, is the lesser levels, the introductory levels of flirting, the stuff that could get you in trouble, like when you're trying to live right. You know, you don't need to be flirting. You don't really want to be flirting, but you find yourself doing things in a flirtatious way. And a lot of times, another thing too, real quick, is that a man's definition of flirting is a lot different. Will often be different from a woman's definition of flirting. Like, ladies, a lot of y'all are flirting, and you genuinely don't even realize that you're flirting. Case in point, I remember one time I was out with the one woman. I just wanted like a regular date. And I think we were at it might have been like a Chick-fil-A or something, like nothing, like a fast food place. But it was very, it wasn't crowded, you know, and I was in line. I ordered what I ordered. And this chick ordered, and like, she was flirting with the freaking cashier, you know? And I'm trying to think what it was. This was years ago. I don't even remember, but it was, like, blatant to me. And it was just like, I think he said something, and then she responded back, and they had, like, this little back and forth. Like, it wasn't anything sexual, but it was very random, and it was very extra and unnecessary. And I didn't think that she, you know, I don't think they didn't, like, exchange numbers. She didn't even realize that she was, cause, I mean, she wasn't a disrespectful chick. Like, I'm standing right there. But they were flirting. I'm sure he knew what was going on. But just because that was her personality, it was clear that this dude took what she was. He even looked at me like, yo, is that your girl? Now, needless to say, that chick's number was deleted immediately after the date. But you see what I'm saying? I think that, and she probably will never even have known why I never called her again. But it was clear that she was being flirtatious with it. Courtney, you know, you have any idea what I'm talking about? Like those little subtle flirtatious comments?
Yeah, that was something that I did. And it was hard for me to even see that it was flirting. It wasn't until we started our sessions that I had realized that I was flirting, and I didn't even know it.
Right. This is the thing, ladies. Y'all really have to be aware of what you say, because the things that you say, you could say something to a man where he just look at you and be like, oh, okay, yeah, this chick is on me. You know, this chick wants me to smash. And that's the impression that you end up leaving with that man. And then based on that little interaction, that initial interaction, like, you got to be careful with these compliments that you give. You got to be careful with these unnecessary comments. You know, like, if you're saying certain things, like, for no reason, and then it's like a little joking way, you might just say, oh, no, I'm a friendly person. But we as men are so used to women nowadays coming on to us. Forget coming on. We're used to women blatantly throwing themselves at us. You know, blatantly. So that's just the mindset that a lot of these men are in. Like, oh, okay, she's probably a freak. She wants me to smash. And so that's already what we're thinking. So you automatically have to be aware, like, whoa, let me not give off that vibe. Now, you have to also, now this is where it gets a little bit deeper. Everyone knows, you know, we've done tons of shows on the definition of emotional availability, what it means to be emotionally unavailable. Well, it's important to understand, and most women understand this, are in some way emotionally unavailable. You know, I do this from time to time. You can call, if you're a single woman, I can almost guarantee you're emotionally unavailable in some way. You don't believe me, call in, and I'll assess your level of emotional availability in less than 5 minutes. I guarantee it. We've done it a number of times on the show, and never have I not been able to pinpoint someone's level of emotional availability. So, Courtney, have you ever heard me do that? In less than like 2 or 3 minutes, I can pinpoint anyone from anywhere in the country. Matter of fact, if you think you're an emotionally available woman, I got a brand new copy of What Women Need to Hear but Don't. Excuse me, What Women Need to Know but Don't Want to Hear. If I can't pinpoint your source of emotional unavailability in less than 5 minutes. What do you think, Courtney? Am I going to have to give away a CD tonight?
No. because honestly, you know, you are really good at that, because people call in and you are able to assess it quickly. You were able to assess it quickly with me when we started our sessions. I thought I was almost perfect. But you did it really quickly with me, so.
And that's interesting. And no disrespect to you, Courtney. And, you know, I can say this because, you know, we know each other quite well. But the reality is, this is the problem with most women out there, is that when I first started the counseling with Courtney, at this point about a year ago, she said that she felt as though she was perfect. She thought that she was a really great woman. Just like most of you out there think that you're really great. Most women think that they're great women. They think that the problem is with the men, when in reality, they're not so great women. They're not perfect, and there is some level of emotional unavailability. Courtney was, in fact, one of the most emotionally unavailable women that I'd ever met on that initial session that we did. like that free session that I do for everybody, you know? And so that's what I'm saying. To think that you're perfect, but then to find out that you're one of probably the worst, not, I don't want to say worst, but just had layers upon layers upon layers of emotional unavailability, that is what's going on out here. And there's no one really other than me who's really, you know, interested even in exploring what it means to be emotionally unavailable, you know? And the problem with it is an emotionally unavailable vibe will automatically translate into a sexual vibe. A lot of women, I say, look, you know, you're giving off a sexual vibe. You got to chill out with that. They say, what do you mean? I said, it's not, what do I mean? It's you're giving off a vibe. It's not something that you're wearing. It's not even what you're saying necessarily. It's just a vibe. That's why you've got to deal with and heal from these issues. Otherwise, you know, you wonder why men are approaching you in a sexual way. You're thinking you're just chilling. It's because it's the vibe you're giving off. Now, a lot of times, what comes along with that, what comes along with the sexual vibe will be the sexual clothes, will be the sexual comments, will be the flirting. You know what I'm saying? That often comes along with that, but not all the time. So just be careful of that. But yeah, shout out to Courtney. She's in. Can't say where she was without saying where she is. Courtney has gone from being probably one of the most emotionally unavailable women that I've met to being one of the best women that I know. So that's what I'm saying to y'all. You know, you've come a long way, Courtney.
Thank you.
So that's what's up, man. And, you know, I say all that to say, it can happen for you too. Like I said, call the 800 number, email me. We'll set up, call into the show. And, you know, and like I said, less than 5 minutes. That's just so you guys know. I'm very transparent about this stuff. That's what the first session is about. These free sessions, that's all we do. We assess what's going on, and we draw up a game plan of how to, you know, get you to where you want to be. That's really all it is. Helped a lot of women that way. Now, look, check this out. So we're talking about flirting tonight. A lot of these jokes in the office, a lot of these compliments, oh, you look nice today. Oh, is that a new suit? You're not wearing that same old suit you used to wear every day? Ha, 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 okay. What you got? You use your bonus check, looking all fly. Okay, I see you. What, you got a hot date tonight? I used to get that. I was actually involved, and I can't say too much about it, but in one of my jobs, there was a big class action lawsuit. I won't even say the company it was, but a lot of inappropriate comments, a lot of discrimination, a lot of just inappropriate stuff was going on at this place. Very one of the most well-known corporations in the country, but it was a big deal, big lawsuit, and I was it was me and a lot of people, but a lot of inappropriate stuff, a lot of flirtatious stuff from management. You know, I used to get people coming up to me. I'm talking about past sexual harassment. Like, oh, you look like you could be on the cover of GQ and this and stuff. I mean, like, these are like supervisors. I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? But, I mean, it was a lot more than that, a lot deeper than that. But I'm just telling y'all, yeah, just got to be careful with the flirting on a whole bunch of levels, just from an emotional standpoint, but also from a sexual harassment standpoint. You don't want to lose your job over just being flirtatious. Courtney, you ever experienced anything like that from a corporate level?
No, I haven't personally experienced that.
Oh, so you were the one doing the harassment. Okay. I see what's going.
Well, since you put it that way, I wasn't even going to say all that, even though you're right. Yeah, it was me that was doing all that. It was me that was, you know, taking the unnecessary trips to the cubicle or their office or whatever. That was me.
Right. And that's how it goes. That's what it is. It could be anything. It could be, I mean, y'all think it's, y'all, I'm telling you, you will have a man looking at you, ladies, like you want to have sex with him. Just you stopping by his cubicle, asking to borrow his stapler. Hey, can I borrow your stapler real quick? He's like, okay, cool. Don't worry, I'll make sure I bring it back. I ain't going to steal your stapler. Don't worry. You ain't going to have to come chase me. Like, all that stuff, that's flirting. It's extra. Just take the stapler and go. You know what I mean? Like, you don't got to be extra, you know? Just go. You don't have to, you know, if you say, can I have a paperclip? You know, just take the paperclip. You don't have to say anything about the paperclip or, you know, how you'll replace the paperclip, or you'll drop one, another one back. Like, that's flirting. And the message that that's going to send to that man is most likely that you're a hoe. Because that's, I mean, if you really want, a lot of women, hold on, Dana, like, what are you saying? Because I asked for a paperclip, I'm a hoe now? It's deeper than that. It's because you got to understand how men think. You know, as a man, if we are taking your comments, if your interaction with us comes off in a sexual manner, we're going to assume that you're interested in having sex with us. That's usually what it boils down to. You know, I could tell y'all some personal stories, but I'm not going to do that today. You know what I mean? But there, I know people who have had sex in the actual workplace, you know, just off the strength of some of those little seemingly harmless interactions. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm talking about in bathroom stalls, call centers, you know, people sneaking away and in the corners and in the janitorial closets. Like, these things actually go on, you know, and it all starts from those little interactions, that little flirting, that attention that you're seeking, which leads to him flirting with you and you reciprocating that flirting. That's where all this stuff comes from. So let's talk about, we've seen the sexual nature of flirting, but, you know, Courtney, I'll ask you to start it off. Is there, and you guys can call in too if y'all have thoughts on this, because, you know, is there such a thing as harmless or innocent flirting? What do you think, Courtney?
I don't think so.
You can't just have a friend who you just have we're just flirty friends. That's just how y'all do it. Like, y'all don't have sex. You know you're never going to have sex. He may be in a relationship. You may be in a relationship. But when you see each other, y'all just have this little, you're just flirty with each other. And it's just harmless. That's what it is. That's where it's going to stay. Is that harmless?
No, I don't think so, because there's still a sexual attraction there. So I've never seen flirting be done innocently. At least on one end, someone is sexually attracted.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, ladies. I mean, sex is one of those things where, you know, it's once you develop an attraction with somebody, it's almost like two irresistible forces that you really have to try hard to resist. Yes, you may know, you may have an understanding, okay, we're not going there. But the temptation is there. And so then really, when you look at it from a spiritual perspective, from a divine viewpoint, you know, which I encourage everybody to do, you know, it's not so much you. You can't look at it from a worldly standpoint like, oh, okay, you know, this is just innocent, we just flirt, it's not going to go any further. You got to realize the devil is real. You know what I'm saying? When you get on that spiritual walk, anything can happen, because the devil is going to try his best to throw little curveballs at you. So one of the worst things you can do would be to underestimate the devil. Trust me on that. You don't know what you do. I hear people say all the time, oh, no, I would never do that. No, I know me. I know him. I know how we are. That would never happen. Yeah, okay. You keep telling yourself that. Let the devil catch you slipping one day. You'll find yourself in the backseat of a car in the corporate America parking lot. Don't think that can't happen. Don't think it hasn't. I mean, Courtney, am I lying?
No, not at all. I've actually seen that happen at work before.
I have too.
Definitely, like before work, you know, they went into the conference room and the lights were still off in the conference room. I put two and two together, like, okay, you know, I know what's going on. So, yeah, it definitely goes down.
Yeah, man. And, you know, and on a more everyday level, I mean, that's like some wild stuff right there. You know, corporate America, boardroom, you know, get there at 6 o'clock in the morning. You don't got to start work till 8:30. You just there for no reason, talking about some, you catching up on some paperwork. You working at overtime. Now you ain't working overtime. You're doing something else. But on a more everyday level, a lot of times it's that quote unquote friend, you know, and we're going to talk about that. That's actually a good segue into what I really want to talk about, because, I mean, office romance stuff is cool, but a lot of y'all have these friends, you know what I'm saying? We've done whole shows on the importance of cutting off male friends if you want love. A lot of women, this is probably the number one mistake that women make in today's dating world. You keep these freaking male friends who are not your friends. I've had women, I got into a debate with somebody online the other day. She was like, you know, these dudes out here, they don't know how to show a woman that they're really interested, so I just cut them off, you know, or I put them in the friend zone. I'm like, you put them in the friend zone? So what are you saying? You're saying that you went on a couple dates with somebody. He obviously is attracted to you. You're attracted to him. But because there was no chemistry, because things didn't work out, you decided to not deal with him on that level, but you're just going to be friends with him. What the heck is that? You're just going to be friends. So you still talk to him. You still chill with him. But y'all have understood that it's not going anywhere, but you're just going to be friends. So that's sex waiting to happen. I mean, what the heck else is there to do? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what do you think he wants to do? See, a lot of women, they don't get how men think. What y'all don't understand is we're not looking for friends. Nobody wants to be your friend. We're grown. This ain't like, let's go play in the sandbox. You're my friend. Back in the day, I had platonic friends. You know, like actual, I mean, I still do to this day. But when I was in college, I didn't. It was like, if you were my friend, it was like we were most likely having sex, or, you know, one day we were going to have sex. It just hadn't happened yet. That's just what it is. And I don't care what you think, ladies. If he flirts with you, he would have sex with you. Platonic friends do not flirt with each other. That's what y'all need to understand. If a man flirts with you, he's not your friend. If you flirt with him, you're not his friend. Y'all are, I don't know what you want to call it. You can call it associates. You can call it y'all are cool, you know. But, I mean, I don't care what you call it. You can call him your friend if you want to, but that's going to leave you emotionally unavailable, because there is not an elite man on the planet, hear me on this, ladies, who is going to wife you up, who is going to take you seriously while you have these non-platonic male friends. Courtney, me and you had to, I mean, we had some battles, you and I, getting together that list of people in your life that needed to be eliminated. They were those quote-unquote friends who were not really friends. They were those flirty friends.
Yeah, it was crazy because it was a battle because I had to keep adding people to the list every week. It was people that I really didn't think had an effect on me or had a hold on me. And so I didn't want to tell you about them at first. And so that's what all that back and forth, you know, was about. But, yeah, I did have a lot of men in my life like that. Just, you know, I would flirt with them. It was something fun to do. We would exchange, you know, we would text each other. Sometimes the conversation would get a little bit sexual and, you know, and I wasn't realizing that was, you know, part of the reason that I was single, that I am single, you know.
Ladies, everyone listening right now, I don't care what state you're in, what city you're in, right now, think about your life. If you're single, I can 100% guarantee you have male friends in your life that need to be eliminated. Think about who that person is in your life. I guarantee you do. If you don't, call in. But I can just about guarantee that you do. And just you're probably thinking, oh, yeah, I'm just this great woman. I'm chilling. Excuse me. I'm nothing's wrong with me. I'm single by choice, all that, whatever. You have these male friends. I promise you, even the secret listeners who don't like to tell me they listen. They like to just listen in silence. Trust me, I guarantee you listening, you have male friends that need to be eliminated, okay? And that is what, you know, if they probably hit you up, you know, like, what's up, on text. I used to send these texts out. I was a master, you know, a master. I'm gonna do like an expose one of these days, you know, and report back. I got to get the wife's permission, but I'm going to do this one day, you know, just to do an experiment. You know, it's so easy nowadays. It's so easy. All you got to do is just send a text message like, hey, what's up? You know, oh, hey, I mean, everyone texts now. Hey, what's up? What you been up to? Long time no see. You know, sad face. You know, looking forward to seeing you sometime. Smiley face. Oh, okay, what'd you want to do? Now, I mean, I used to set up booty calls just via text. I could tell y'all so many stories. You know, I've had sex with women who I never even talked to once on the phone, just strictly off of text. You know what I mean? To be honest with you, I've had sexual relationships with women who I've never even spoken to. Courtney, let that marinate a little bit. Never even spoken to them. You know what I'm saying?
OG like player.
Look, man, y'all don't know. See, I think a lot of people, they don't really know who I am. I didn't meet me in that stage of my life. You happened to come across me when I was the married guy, in the ready to settle down stage. But the reality is, you know, I was one of those guys. Everything I talk about, I personally have done. You know, there's no one more experienced or knowledgeable about this relationship and dating stuff. You know what I mean? This psycho chick in the group, she was like, she was mad at me. She tried to say, she's like, Dayton, this guy's an expert. You're not an expert. I'm like, what? Like, what, an expert? What is an expert? You know? I mean, to me, and I don't even call myself an expert on anything. I'm just a real guy who can relate to everything. You know, if that makes me an expert, then hey, you know? But the reality is this. It all starts with that sexual attraction, which comes from the vibe that's being given off. That's where the conversation comes about, you know, in those texts. Y'all got to chill out with those texts. I say, well, you know, tell me when these counseling sessions come about, I say, hey, look, who's this guy? You know, who is he? What does he represent in your life? Oh, no, he's nobody. I say, well, tell me about him. Oh, no, he's just there. I mean, he doesn't serve a purpose. I say, well, do you talk to him? I mean, not really. Like, maybe he might call me once a month or every couple weeks or, you know, send me a text. I say, oh, okay, do y'all go out? She said, no, I'm not really interested in him. You know, I say, well, do you tell him not to call you? She said, no, I mean, he just calls every once in a while. Courtney, what did I have to tell her?
To cut him off?
I had to tell her to cut him off, but...
But that he wants to have sex with her?
Well, that too, but mainly that she's emotionally unavailable. Lady, and what I hear, they say, well, hold on, Dayton, what are you saying? How am I emotionally unavailable because... He wants to call me. He texts me. I'm not interested in him, Dana. I don't have feelings for him. Yeah, now my ex that I still had sex with every once in a while, I mean, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. He needs to be cut off. But this guy, I don't even talk to him. I said, I get it. But that's just another layer. I said, Courtney, if I'm interested in you and you have, you know, a guy in your life who happens to just text you once a month, who calls you once every couple weeks, just to talk, just to see, quote unquote, what's up, you know, which we now know means he wants to have sex with you. Am I going to take you out? Am I going to take you seriously? Am I going to look at you as my future wife?
Of course not. No.
Of course not, ladies. When I met my wife, there was no one texting her to check up on her. There was no one who just was calling her. Not about, for, you know, if she was interested in him, but there was no one reaching out to her. Ladies, when we meet you, a lot of women say, well, yeah, if I met a guy, then I wouldn't flirt with these other dudes. Then I would cut them off. Well, if you want to be a wife, you've got to act like a wife. A lot of women are saying, well, hold on, Dan, what are you saying? You're saying that if I'm a single woman, you're saying you want me to act like a wife. Well, I'm not saying anything. I'm not telling you anything. I'm telling you this is what you will do if you want to be the wife of the best possible man looking for a wife. We are not going to compete. We're not going to play Inspector Gadget. We're not going to be the detective trying to determine, okay, who is he to her? Is he a friend? Is he not a friend? Is he? No, it's just, you know, it's just you're gone. You're cut. On to the next one. So cut out that if it doesn't mean anything, if he's not the man that God, because there's only room in your life for one person. And that's going to be the man that God has for you. Anybody else is a waste of time. Now, a lot of times, you know, there's that fear of being alone. You know, there's the insecurities. So that kind of causes you to want to keep those guys around just for the heck of it, because the thought of not having any men in your life is actually worse than, you know, being, you know, in a bad situation. So that's why you keep maybe three or four guys who you know you have no future with, but it's just, it makes you feel good just to know you. That's emotional unavailability. You'll be, I counsel 50-year-old women, 40-year-old women. Courtney's one of the youngest women that I counsel. You know, she's 26. You know what I'm saying? Most women are having to deal with this stuff late 30s, early 40s, mid 40s. Don't wait until you get that age to start cutting off these dudes. Do it now. All right? Now, so we're talking about flirting tonight. It's kind of, you know, I love Barbershop Talk Tuesdays, and that's great. But I'm telling y'all, these types of shows, man, where you just get this knowledge, where we can just talk, these are some of them. This is where, like, I mean, Barbershop Talk is just fun. You know what I mean? That's just, you know, we're having a good time. But this is where you really get the knowledge that's going to change people's life. This is, matter of fact, I'm going to read it right now. Shows like this, information like this, is where you get testimonies like this. Y'all saw the ring I posted. This is what a young woman wrote. She said, "Hey, Daydon, I've been out of touch for a while, but I made a promise to myself to write you and to thank you wholeheartedly when I had some good news to share. Well, the date for my marriage is 12/12/2012. Thank you for sharing your gift with us women and preparing us, those that listen, to be wives. If it wasn't for your show, and even from some of the advice that I've asked you personally, this would not have happened. I could not wait to be able to share that message with you. You have a true gift, and I'm glad that you're able to share it. I'm sure it was difficult at times with all the negativity, but you touched so many women, including myself." So, and there was a little bit more to that conversation. She inboxed me, but I just wanted to kind of get the, you know, share that, you know, the main part with you guys. And like I said, you know, there's obviously a lot of negativity out there. A lot of people are stuck in their ways. They you know, they don't want to hear the truth. The truth hurts. The truth is uncomfortable. But even if it's just one woman, just like this, this is why I do what I do. This is why I'm here and not sitting in front of my DVR catching up on, you know, basketball. You know what I mean? Or any of these shows. You see, seriously, this is what I do. Courtney, hearing this from a counselor standpoint, as well as a, you know, just a woman who's also in search for love, from both perspectives, how does hearing that, what does that do for you, hearing stories like that, testimonies like that?
It does a lot for me. When I saw it today, it just automatically made me smile, because that's great encouragement, you know, to me and as well as other women that are on that path toward emotional availability. And it just shows how, and the key word she said is to the women that listen. Like, it's one thing to hear what's being said, but to the women, including myself, that actually listen and take heed to that advice, that is where you'll end up. And I have, you know, absolute 100% confidence that that will be me. And it also makes me feel good on another hand, because I would love for someone to say, you know, that to me. You know, because I help people too, and I have people thanking me all the time, and I know that makes you feel good. And if someone were to tell me that, you know, that they were getting married, oh my gosh, that's great, because it just makes it that much more rewarding, you know, because you're helping people.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I guess it's just the nature of the beast, you know, but, you know, that you hear, you know, you, when you go on Facebook or, you know, you get into the group and you see certain things, a lot of times the people who are more vocal are going to be the ones who need the advice the most. A lot of times you see the debates. Those are the ones that turn people's heads. You may see the insults. And I just, you know, I'm still struggling with some things. Sometimes you say something disrespectful to me, that's where you get, you know, I have a problem, you know, ignoring certain things. Everybody says, just ignore them. Don't, you know, I'm struggling with it. My wife is working with me. You know, Courtney tells me sometimes, you know, different people. But, you know, that's what you see more often. But what you don't see is these types of women. Because we have thousands of people that listen to the Data on Tolbert show every night. And a lot of times it's the bad apples that seemingly spoil the bunch. But I share these stories from time to time, and I save them in a folder. I have about 2,500 is coming up on testimonies similar to these. You know what I mean? Not everyone's getting married, but just great thank you letters, and you've helped me see things from a different perspective. I'm now engaged. All types of things. And so those are the ones who sit back and listen to the show silently, and they make the changes. And I just want to say that I see you guys, and I salute you, and I thank you for not, you know what I mean, for just listening. Anything you want to add to that before we keep it moving?
No. I feel like you said it all.
Yeah. Back to the flirting, though. Just great story. It's definitely a feel-good story. Hopefully, I might need an invitation to that wedding. I've been invited to weddings of people who I've brought together. You know, it's no better feeling. No better feeling in the world than being able to change someone's life and have an impact in someone's happiness. Give it a try. Try it out. Now, a lot of times when you look at, I actually had a situation. This was a woman I was talking to, and I was never fully comfortable with her or this situation. I'll tell you why. You know, and it's one of the major reasons why I you know, ended up cutting her off, and definitely why she's not my wife. She was took the train downtown, and she had a coworker who she was, quote-unquote, friends with. And I said, okay, I mean, that's, you know, what am I going to do? I'm not, you know, one of these psychos. I'm not going to tell her who she can and can't be friends with. But she was cool with this dude. And what she ended up doing was, like, I guess they had this little thing where whoever got to the train station first, or excuse me, got off the train first, that would pick up the other person's breakfast, you know, and they would just go ahead. I think they would maybe text each other and say, I'm here, you know, and they would just get what that person wanted, and they would meet up in the office or whatever, because I think he came from a different direction. And now, I mean, obviously, she said this was nobody that they, you know, never talked, never flirted, never none of that. I didn't buy it. You know, here's the funny thing. I'm going to tell you all a funny part of this story, though. This was her perspective, and I wasn't tripping about it, but it never really sat well with me. Okay, they just chilled, you know, would get the food, and that was just that. Have their little projects together, do their work, you know, and that was that. Never, or from her side, never a problem. Come to find out, now, fast forward several months, now, we stopped talking. Me and the dude end up randomly becoming cool. You know what I'm saying? And are really actually cool to this day, friends to this day. You know, and I know this dude. You know, now, we never really got too deep into it, but I know him, and trust me, that wasn't as platonic as she thought it was. It wasn't as innocent as she would like me to have believed that it was. You understand that, ladies? There's always two sides to every story. It's things are very rarely what you think they are in regards to the interaction you have with a man. 99.9% of the time, that man is going to want to have sex with you. That man is going to be actively plotting to have sex with you. And let me just help y'all, because a lot of y'all really come off as very, some of you genuinely are naive, and some of you act like you're naive. But let me just tell y'all, I mean, first of all, Courtney, what do you think about that story?
Just hearing it was obvious that it wasn't platonic, you know, because I wouldn't, you know, play little games like that. Oh, you know, I'll buy you breakfast and all that stuff for someone I wasn't attracted to. Like, if someone was ugly, why would I be doing that? Like, that doesn't even make
sense.
Neither
one of them is ugly.
See? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So.
And it's that you know, it's that natural law of attraction. It's just, you know, it's like two trains on the same track. Eventually, something's going to happen. You know, and the reality is, ladies, this is some exclusive information from the mind of a man, okay? This is what y'all have to understand here. We as men are not idiots, You know what I'm saying? We're not stupid. We're not as stupid as you think we are. You know, this whole dating thing, this whole plotting to get sex, it's actually a very well thought out, well oiled machine. You know, it's like 1 + 1 = 2. Like, we know exactly what to do to get what we want. You got, even, I'm talking about, I've talked the most independent, the most intelligent, the most successful women out of their panties. It's like, it's nothing. It's a formula. And if you follow the formula, you will get what you want if you're a man. I don't care who you are or what the situation is, 99.9% of the time, it will go down. If it's done right, most men don't do it right. But that's the thing. Now, this is what I was going to say about that. In regards to us not being idiots, a lot of you are saying, well, no, he doesn't see me like that. You know, you're convincing your boyfriend that y'all are just friends. You know, he sees me like a little sister. He doesn't want to have sex with me. He doesn't want to hit it from the back. I mean, I know my my butt is big. You know, I know I'm sexy, but I know you find me sexy. But he doesn't find me sexy. He wouldn't want to, you know, smash. Why would you think that? And I just look like in amazement. Like, really? Are you serious? And some women really believe that crap. And what that comes down to is, if Courtney, I'll use you. Okay, now, let's say, hypothetically, okay, I want to have sex with you. Okay, I meet you. That is my goal. There's an attraction. I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to have sex with her. Now, I find out through my research and, you know, through conversations, you are in a relationship. Okay? We work together. You know, you're in a relationship. However, I don't care about your dude. I would still hit that. You know, now, if I'm not an idiot, if I have any sense in my freaking brain whatsoever, am I going to come at you and disrespect your relationship and make advances at you, hoping, you know, and proposition you for sex?
No.
Of course not. I mean, that would be idiotic. That would not be logical. You know, like, I might as well just go jump off a bridge or something if I was going to do something so stupid. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of women, they don't understand that. They're just thinking that, well, it's okay to be friends because he doesn't flirt. Well, he's never made a pass at me. Well, why would he? That would be stupid, because that would jeopardize the ultimate goal. See, the formula for that, to get what he wants, is to play it cool. You know, most relationships fail. Like, it's basically like 80-90% of relationships fail. Whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, talking, he knows. If you're at a job in your career, he's at a job in his career, eventually, and maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's a year, maybe it's 2 years, you're going to break up. You know what I'm saying? And most likely, even before that, there are going to be some problems. There are going to be some late nights, some late night train rides, something that's going to maybe lead to him being able to do something. He's just going to chill and wait for his opportunity. You know, he's going to gain your trust. Next thing you know, y'all are kissing or something happened. I'm Courtney, you know how that goes.
Yeah, definitely. I usually find, I found myself being more attracted to a man when he acted like he didn't want me. It was just something that made me just more attracted. Like you said, when he just chilled out instead of just being so obvious with it.
Of course, that's the strategy. But now the problem is, and this is where it gets deep, you have a lot of emotionally unavailable women out there who are attracting the absolute idiots, the liars, the dogs, the cheaters, the players, the abusers, the weirdos, the psychos, you know, who basically tip their hand, the ultimate non-elite men of the world who just, you know, they're playing tug-of-war with their panties. They take you out on a lunch date. They're trying to jump your bones right there at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. They're freaking idiots. You know, so that you guys are meeting a lot of those types of dudes. You're not meeting the men like myself. You're not meeting some of the OG players that Courtney's run into in her life who y'all have no idea what's going on. And it just pops up out of nowhere like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this. What the heck am I doing? You know exactly what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? And the reality is, back in the day, like Courtney said, she was turned on by men who didn't want, who appeared to not want the sex. But check this out. That was my game back in the day. That was, you know, me to a T. All I would do is, you know, I would meet women very nonchalant. And it's funny, some players, the less experienced OG players, it was an act for them. They, like Courtney said, she's never met a guy like me. The guys she was meeting, they would put on an act as if they didn't want sex. They would pretend that sex wasn't a big deal and that would turn her on. And then eventually something would go down. Does that sound a little bit familiar, Courtney?
Yes, it does.
Would pretend like they were nonchalant. They would try to come off like they didn't care. When you came in contact with dudes like me, it was genuine. I genuinely didn't care. You know what I'm saying? And that's the ultimate turn on. You understand that? When I encountered a woman, I genuinely could care less if I got her number. I could genuinely care less if I was dealing with her, if I had sex, or if I didn't have sex. I was never pressed. And that's what you guys have to understand. When it comes to your pores, when women can genuinely look you in your eye and know that no matter what I wear, no matter how stank of an attitude I try to have, no matter how stuck up I am, no matter how, you know, many games I try to play, he genuinely doesn't care and really could give a damn about me one way or the other. When you know that, then you're forced to be yourself. You know what I'm saying? And that's when the walls come down. That's when the guard drops. And then it's really you find yourself at his mercy. Because I'm just being honest with y'all. That whole flirtatious thing, I would do that with the best of them. But at the same time, when it came time for it, you know, I give them a handshake. I tell y'all this all the time. I would give women handshakes after the first date. Even I would have women after the third or fourth date just giving them a hug, maybe a kiss on the cheek. Like, all right, well, look, it was nice spending time with you. I'll see you next time. Give me a call. You know, I'll talk to you later. Have a good week. You know, give me a call in a couple weeks. You know what I mean? Let me know how it works. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, what? A couple weeks? What are you talking about? I'm trying to see you later on tonight. I'm trying to give you some now. I'll be like, no, that's cool. I'll check you out another time. You know, I used to have women literally fiending. You know, I would have women like wondering. You know, they'd be like, what the heck is wrong? What do I got to do? I'm talking about I would drop them off. They would be texting me later on that night. Did you get home okay? And I just wanted to check in to make sure you were in bed and make sure you made it home safely. I made it home safe. I'm a grown man. Don't worry. I'm cool. Courtney, come on, you've done that before, Courtney.
Yeah, this whole story reminds me of the whole how to be a player situation.
Telling these stories, Courtney, because I'll tell stories all night. Yeah, man, let me, real quick, not to cut you off, Courtney. See, a lot of people will watch, and I want y'all to do this, like, because I really want you guys to know, and I'm not trying to brag, but I'm just being honest. I really want you to watch, because if you think about movies, all right, like the how to be a player's, what are some of these other ridiculous movies like Kid and Play, those like house party movies, all that stuff where you got a chance to actually see young black men in like a, you know, a player like The Brothers, stuff like that. I want you, because most women have no idea what's going on out here. Most of you have no idea. You know, you have no idea what the life of a man is really like. This show is the realest. It's the realest show. It's the realest indication or depiction of the life of a black man and the thoughts of a black man that has ever been freaking given to the world. Period. I'm just being honest with y'all. Whether it's me, whether it's the rest of the dudes on Barbershop Talk, there's never been anything like this. And that's what I'm saying. Y'all need to listen. And I'm just telling y'all this because when you look at movies, everything you know, it's not accurate. Nothing is accurate. This show is accurate, and there's nothing out there like this show. You look at How to Be a Player. How to Be a Player is not realistic. That's sugarcoated. You look at the realest things that you think are real, and they're all sugarcoated compared to what's really going on out here. You think men are players. You have no idea what these men are doing. You know, back in the day, we used to have contests to see who could get the most numbers and to see who could have sex with two women in the same night. You understand that? who could have sex with the most women in 1 week and get pictures of them to show, to substantiate it? Did you know stuff like that went on, Courtney?
Not before listening to your show, I didn't.
Nobody knows stuff like that. I mean, you hear stories, you think that it's possible, but this is real life. You know what I'm saying? Like, going to parties and meeting women that day, that night, having sex with them in the car, in the parking lot, in the bathroom of the club. Where you think love in the club came from? Usher knows what's up. That's real life. You know what I'm saying? There are women out here who will have sex with you 5 minutes after meeting you. That's real. And so I'm saying all this stuff to say that, like, really, you know, you need to know what's going on. You need to inform yourselves. That's the information you get is real. You got to listen, and you've got to implement it into your life. Y'all think we talk about how to be a player? You know, I was so bold, and I've told this story a million times, but for the newer listeners, I was so bold back in the day. You know how Bill Bellamy had that big party, and he would invite, like, all those women. Like, he would literally go from house to house throughout the day, you know, have sex with these women, like multiple women. That was me and my homies. I used to do that. You know what I'm saying? Me personally, Dayton October, I used to do that. You know what I'm saying? That picture that everybody's laughing at, going to the club, going to church the next day, praising God, that was me. That's why I found that picture so funny that I posted on my wall. What did you think about that picture, Courtney?
It was something I could relate to as well. It was very, very real. That is how it goes. A lot of people were trying to act shocked, like they couldn't believe it. But, no, that's very real.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to church drunk, like hungover, like but still drunk. You know what I'm saying? Like, came in at 6 o'clock in the morning, but still had the – see, this thing, you know, I've always loved God. You know what I'm saying? And really it's a testament to God that I'm even able to do what I do today, because I was out there, you know, but I've always had that love. My actions didn't always demonstrate that, you know, and that's why I don't knock anybody. I don't judge anybody. I don't knock anybody. You know, you guys have heard women who've had sex with 300 men calling to the show, and I don't judge them. I counsel them. I help them change their lives. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, like, people, they have the audacity to call me judgmental. I'm saying, look, I help women for a living. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking them. I'm trying to give them the information so that they can change their lives and get love. You guys will never hear me bash anybody for their decisions as long as they're real about them and as long as they're willing to do what needs to be done to change their lives. That's the whole point of the show. So that's why, you know, and I take that stuff personally. You know, that's why I respect. Just people say, well, why are you so... You know, why do you get so mad? Why are you so, you insult these women. You know, I'm like, look, if you call me judgmental or you say I'm bashing women or blaming women or those are fighting words to me. You know what I mean? I have dedicated my life to specifically helping black women change their lives. So if anybody says anything outside of that, you've insulted me in the worst possible way. So just, I want everybody to know that, to be clear about that, where I stand, why I do what I do. You understand it? But back in the day, me and my homies, we would have house parties, okay? We would literally have house parties where it would be me, basically the barbershop crew. Let's say it would be like me, Marv, James, Lewis, you know, and Steve. And I would be talking to like 5 or 6 women, you know, actively, and then have like about a good, you know, other 10 women from back in the day or, you know, who were just kind of lingering around. So I would personally invite, say, you know, 15 women. Those women would bring a girlfriend or two. So that's like 30 people right there just from me, and all stemming from women who I personally was either talking to and most likely was having sex with. Now, Marv... Now, not really Marv, but say, you know, the representative of Marv or who Marv represents in this story, he would invite, say, you know, same thing. You know, James would do the same thing. Lewis would do the same thing. So now here we have 5 dudes, you know, and we would all invite probably a couple of our homies, a couple of our best friends. So you got maybe, you know, 20 dudes with like 60 women all in a living room. You know what I'm saying? We get like one of those mix CDs, probably like two or three mix CDs. Somebody would be the ghetto DJ in the corner with the CD changer. We all put in like $20, $20, $30 for some alcohol, you know, have the mixed drinks. And, you know, we wouldn't even charge the ladies. So, nobody was filling the clubs back then. So they would just all come over. We'd do them like once a month. Do y'all have, and these were, I mean, who does that? What man do you know? And this is like legendary. I'm telling you, y'all have no idea how legendary these types of stories are, this types of behavior. Men look at me and like, yo, you like would go through your phone and you would invite all the women that you knew or that you talked to or were even having sex with, you would invite them to one party? I said, yeah. They said, why would you do that? That's crazy. That's suicide. I said, to me, it's fun. Courtney, can you imagine that? Do people know who they're talking to? Do they know who they're listening to when they question me?
Wow, that's a crazy story, yet it's believable. I believe it.
Yeah, man, let me tell y'all something, and y'all haven't even heard the half. I haven't even told y'all what would happen at those parties. You know what I'm saying? Let's say I was talking to Courtney, all right? I would be talking to Courtney and say Safina comes, you know, I invite her, and I'm talking to both of them. They're friends, but neither one of them knows that they're talking to me. I would be dancing with Courtney at the party and then I'm like, all right, well, look, I'm going to go get something to drink, probably go to the bathroom, something, come back. 10 minutes later, I'm dancing with Safina in the corner. Courtney would see me dancing with Safina, rolling her eyes. Oh, you just going to dance with her all night? Oh, yeah, you know, I'll get to you in a sec. You know what I'm saying? Who does that? So that's how it went down. Now, I tell you all these stories because I see the behaviors of many of you just from Facebook status updates, just from your picture albums, the careful selection of your profile, you know, what you decide to make your profile picture. And so I try to give little pieces of advice that will help you not become one of those women from my stories with the respective guy in your, you know, in your life. You ever been one of those women, Courtney?
Yeah, definitely. One of many, yes.
Don't, that's a new status update later on. Ladies, don't be one of many. Be his one and only. Courtney, I need you to write that down, inbox.
Oh, gosh.
That's classic right there.
Okay.
Don't be one of many. Look out for that later on Facebook. Nobody try to steal it. You know what I mean? Some biters out there, man. Some freaking haters. Yo, since we're being real tonight, I can't stand some of these radio personalities, man. Yo, I know some of y'all are from Philly. Courtney, you're up there in Chicago. But there are – I'm not going to put anybody on blast, although I should. You guys know – I'm in Philly. Probably one of the – I think Philly's the fifth largest market in the country, like as far as radio goes. And would you guys believe that there are actual, like, popular radio personalities here in the city of Philadelphia who steal my topics? But y'all already know that. Because let's be real, y'all hear it. Nobody be like, wait, hold on, that sounds familiar. Like, I'll do a show, and then tomorrow night they'll be talking about flirting. Like, I'll talk about, I was in my car driving. What was it? I think, what was the last live show we did, Courtney? Oh, man, what the heck? I know we did Barbershop Talk. It was something.
I forgot.
It will come back to me. But it was something we did recently. I can't even remember. But it was like a freaking rerun. Oh, man, it was like, I think it was like, it might have even been like Male Friends. But literally, like, today's Thursday, like Tuesday, these dudes were talking about what I talked about on the rebroadcast of Monday night. Something, I'm like, yo, like that. So, look, just, you know, be original, fellas. You know what I mean? Like, be yourselves. It's enough Facebook status updates to go around. Like, just, you know what I mean? So, and, you know, anybody, you call in, too, man. Like, just ask. Be like, yo, Dayton, I really like that advice. You know what I'm saying? You mind if we talk about that on our show? Or, you know, I really like what you're saying, but, like, instead of disagreeing publicly, just say, hey, look, good advice. Because you know that's what it's about, Courtney.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You see these dudes. People saying, Dayton, you're tripping right now. I'm not tripping. I'm keeping it real. You know? And it comes a point where people need to stop fronting out here. We're going to be doing a show very soon, very shortly, on fake friends. All right? Fake friends, fake family, fake individuals. I can't wait to do that show, man. I promise that. I can't wait, man. We're going to do that on Keeping It Real Friday. And I can't stay. I have family members who are fake. I have friends who are fake. I got a whole bunch of fake Facebook for I had because they're all gone. I tried. As soon as they rear their ugly heads, they're gone. And I'll pass this information along to everybody else. Then we'll get back on topic. Like, the key to happiness, all right, the key to living a stress-free life the way I live, you know what I'm saying, the way Courtney now lives, and you can live too, is to eliminate any level of fake friends, anyone, any form of negativity. Forget just fake friends. Any form of negativity needs to be eliminated. If you can't actively control it, if you have no control over something that's happening, you don't stress yourself out about it. If you do have control over it, do something about it. You got somebody hating on you, you don't got to have them on your Facebook friends list. I moderate several groups. If I don't like you, you're gone. They call me the godfather in the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group. They say, well, Dayton, would you just remove people? Yeah, I just remove people. Just like that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and you not like me and I don't like you, but we got to pretend like you like. Nah, you're gone. Same thing with Courtney. How has that been working out for you?
It's been going well now because remember I told you I had some psychos in the hair group and I had to take them off. Actually, I was reluctant about taking them off. You were just like, they got to go. They got to go. So
they got to go.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Do it. Just I was counseling one woman the other day. I mean, I said, you know, she has, like, all these people just on her friends list. I said, what purpose do they serve? Now, me, I just like having, you know, I have fans and people, supporters who listen to the show and, you know, from a business standpoint, but everyone's not like that. You know, you don't have to have just people on your list just to have them on your list. You know, get them out of there. A lot of those people, and if they're dudes, ladies, that's most likely, you know, they're the ones commenting on your pictures, telling you how sexy you are. They got to go. You know what I'm saying? Those types of situations will keep you single. I tell everyone, one of the things I do on Facebook is, or one of the things I do through counseling is I do a free Facebook analysis. Well, it's really not free because we do it once we get into into the actual counseling. But if you like, we can do a full Facebook analysis, Facebook assessment, where I'll go through your pictures, I'll go through your, the comments that other people have made, I'll go through your responses to those comments as a single man, okay? I will take myself out of married mode, I will put myself into single mode, and basically look at your pictures and look at your profile as if I am looking at you to determine whether or not I could see myself dealing with you on a serious level. And most likely, Courtney knows this better than anyone, by the time we're done, you will have a brand new profile. Am I right? Am I lying?
No, because I remember when you went through my pictures. Oh, my gosh, you talked about them so badly. You cut them up.
I mean, I just called it like I saw it, you know? And that's what I'll do for you guys. I told Courtney, Courtney, this picture makes you look like a hoe. You know? I'm just saying, Courtney, did I tell you that? Am I lying?
No, that's why I'm laughing. Every profile picture, probably, I think you said something bad about every single one of them. And, of course, the infamous hammock shot. You talked about that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Courtney had this picture where she was laying on a hammock, and it just so happened that some cleavage was showing and some thigh was showing. I said, but it gave the appearance that it was just a random candid shot. But in reality, that shot wasn't so candid, was it?
No, because as soon as I posted it, I said, "Ooh, I like the way my thigh looks."
Right.
That was the mentality.
Ladies, and we do this because just like Courtney knew what she was really doing, you know, she knew what message she was sending. You know what message you're sending, and I know what message you're sending. So don't send that message, because the message translates to a sexual vibe. That's why you're attracting men who want to have sex with you. I mean, you have no idea, guys, how many cleavage shots I see. Women nowadays will literally take pictures of their cleavage. I'm like, yo, what the hell do you expect men are going to treat you like? I mean, seriously. You can't take a picture of your breasts. Nipples practically showing, bras exposed. You're smiling at the camera expecting a man not to disrespect you. I mean, it's crazy out here, man. Facebook is a trip, you know. A long time ago, I told the fellas, I said, look, fellas, please, fathers, please give your daughters attention so they don't have to seek it on Facebook, you know. I had to do a repost of that. So, look, guys, this is back to it, though. But like I said, 646-200-0366. You have questions or comments, or you might want to do an free emotional availability assessment tonight if y'all want to. I see a call on the line right now. I see someone from the 609 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? What's your question or comment?
Hi. I'm at this something. I have a question, and this goes back to, because I know you had a session on Sunday, and this is it's a really interesting question. I believe that, I don't know if it's a hater situation or whatever, but I'm just going to go into detail what my question is. Okay, I have an ex-guy friend, and I was, listening to your show on Sunday, and he was very offended about me listening to your show, and I was just asking the questions why, and he was like, well, could you talk to him? I said, yeah. I said, if you want to talk to him a question about anything about the show, I said, I'll do is press, the one button. So he was like, no, I don't want to, listen. So he just got really offensive over it because, I always listen to your show.
That was a rebroadcast, so I don't remember. What were we talking about on Sunday night? I don't remember.
I'm gonna be honest. It was just basically the same routine what you always talk about, eating in and emotional availability, things like that. But okay. for the ex guy friend, I was chilling at his house, for him to just get offensive about your show, I questioned him. I said, I don't believe the question is open up. And he's just trying to make, emphasis. I'm like, well, maybe, why are you getting offended?
Oh, but let me ask you a couple questions, though, because you said this was an ex-friend?
Ex-boyfriend.
Oh, ex-boyfriend. Okay, so you were just chilling at his crib.
Right.
Why were you chilling with your ex?
Okay. I was chilling with my ex we have two children together, and I live in New Jersey, and he lives in, Philly, Pennsylvania. So I was chilling over there just for the night, just because, I don't have a car, so I use public transportation to get home, so I just stayed over, just the following.
Okay.
It really wasn't too much of anything like that. It was just, he was just offensive that I was just listening to your show, and I was questioning him that.
I'm sure he
was. And I was like,
wow,
is it because you're telling the truth about, how guys are, I was thinking maybe, like a lot of things that you hit pointers on as I listen to your show as time go on, you hit pointers, and a lot of things that I had when I was with him, he has done that.
Of course.
So,
let me ask
right,
you, though.
So,
real quick, though, you know that's a situation that needs to be cut off if you ever want love, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So you already know. You know you can't be chilling with your exes, right?
Yeah. Like, there's no, okay, I'm going to let you know right now. There's no, we don't have sex. There's no type of interaction. It's just, it's just about the kids. But it's just so many different things. I understand. I observe what he's doing just because to me, I feel as though he's trying to, you know, because all I do is try to drop the kids off. I just happen to stay over just because.
But he tried to smash, though. Don't, I mean, I know
no,
he
no,
tried
no.
to smash.
No, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't try at all. He just tried to get other things from me, like money or, you know, just other different necessities. He doesn't even try to at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look,
Just because
we're a little bit short on time, let me just tell you, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the realness. I appreciate the honesty. A lot of women won't even, you know, that's what most women are doing out here. Most women are chilling with their exes. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just what it is. That's how it goes down. And usually the sex is going down. 99.9% of the time in those situations, ex-boyfriends, ex-friends with benefits, Saturday night, nothing to do, spend the night, he's smashing it. You know, you take that long drive home, whatever it is. That's usually how it goes. But so, I mean, I hear you, what you're saying, there was no sex, he tries to get other things. The bottom line there is, it's not platonic. Okay, that is not a platonic situation. That type of situation will leave you and many other women out here single. He's got to be going. I know you have kids together. There need to be specific boundaries set. He needs to know, look, you ain't getting money from me. You're not getting sex from me. There's not going to be any flirtatious comments. There's not going to be nothing other than what's best for these kids. And if it's not about the kids, we're not spending no time together. So, I mean, just keep that in mind. You know, and you should be okay. Courtney, any advice you'd like to give to that young woman?
I mean, I feel like you just covered everything. I wonder, though, just coming from her end, you know, if there are still feelings there. And, you know, she's spending all this time with him and just using it as an excuse, oh, well, it was late or all this stuff. But part of me just wonders, you know, what is it what's the real reason that you're chilling with him? And once you get to the bottom of that, whether it could be just something emotional, an emotional tie, whatever that is, you have to let go of that. So.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times it has to do with the like loneliness. They just, you know, Saturday nights get lonely. You know, you work hard all week. You know, your girlfriends are coupled up. It's getting cold out. Everybody's got a little boo loving. You know, next thing you know, you're sitting at the crib on a Saturday night. You're like, well, dang, what do I want to do? You know, and the thing about it is boredom and loneliness really are the first steps towards sin and furthering your emotional unavailability. Because you know how it goes. You make that call, you receive that call, whichever it is, that text, Saturday afternoon, you set up something for Saturday night. You had every plan in the world to sit at home, watch that Lifetime movie, you know, and then get up and go to church in the morning. But because you decided to deviate from that plan, and make that text or accept that text or make that call or whatever the situation is, take that ride over to Jersey. Now you're spending the night, you're having sex, you're sleeping in, you know, next thing you know it's noon, you didn't go to church, you feel bad, you feel convicted from having that sex, you know he's about to have sex with somebody else, he's trying to rush you out, you're like, well, dang, I mean, I came all the way over, why can't we spend the day together? He's getting ready for his Sunday afternoon date with the girl he's about to get into a relationship with in a couple weeks, you know, and that's how it goes. Somebody's saying, well, Dad, how do you know that? How do y'all think I know that? It's because I was that guy. You understand that? That's who you're talking to. That was me back in the day. Go out with one woman, chill with one woman Saturday night, and you know, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, that was the date night. You know, Friday night, Saturday night, accumulate new numbers. Sunday afternoon, you take out who you would hope to be wifey. That's how it went. That was the blueprint. You know, that's how to be a player in a nutshell. You know, certain men, Marv knows all about that. The Gerald Howards know about that. You know, it's only a select few men. James knows about that, you know, Hoop Steve. You know, really the whole Barbershop Talk crew knows about that. A lot of these other dudes, they don't know nothing about that. You know what I mean? A lot of these dudes out here are the dudes buying drinks in the club, taking these women out who they have no intention of ever committing to on a Saturday night. You know, and you know, that's just like, that's idiotic. These dudes take it. Ladies, I'm going to tell you the worst possible man. I'm going to give y'all some exclusive information right now. If you find yourself dealing with a man who is trying to take you out on a Friday night or a Saturday night, and you find yourself having to play tug of war with the panties, you find yourself having to fight him off, or he's just making all these sexual comments, he is he's the worst type of loser. If you find yourself out with your girlfriends and these dudes are coming up to you offering to buy you drinks, those are the worst types of losers. Men like myself don't buy women drinks in the club. Men like Gerald Howard, men like Marv, we don't do those things. We don't play tug of war with the panties. We don't try to jump your bones. If that's your life, you need to set up some sessions because you're attracting the worst possible men. Hear me on that. Courtney, you know all about some of those men at one point in your life. I'm sorry, Courtney, I had your mic off. Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I did interact with losers like that that would, you know, buy me drinks and all that stuff. But I would actually...
And play tug-of-war. Tug-of-war with the panties.
Yeah, and play tug-of-war with the panties. So it's definitely something that I could relate to.
Leave that life alone, man. Leave it alone. It's nothing out here. It's, you know, let me just tell y'all something, too, man. I'm keeping it real tonight. Like, you ask, I moderate the Courageous Black Men of Facebook group on, you know, there's the Friends of the Date on Tour. A lot of men I interact with on a daily basis. I don't care who you are. Now, if you do it, you'll get different results. But if I ask any man on the planet, just about any man out here who's willing to be honest with me and honest with himself, which most men tend to do, you know, when you approach them man to man, you know, it's funny. That's why it's crazy, man. You put a woman in the room. Some of these dudes, that's when you find out if these dudes are gay, on the DL, losers, non-elite men. You put a woman in the room, they show their true colors. When you approach a man, you'll get like the real, that's why there are no crazy debates in the Courageous Black Men group. You get like just men talking to men. Nobody's trying to front. Nobody's trying to impress anybody. It's just like, all right, this is how you feel. And the reality is all these men are looking for wives. You know, everyone wants a woman to be chilling with on a nice fall evening. That's it. That's all we want. Every man wants that. If he tells you otherwise, he's lying. Okay, all that extra stuff, the clubs, that's all a means to an end. You know, he's trying to find wifey. So if he's leading you to believe that he's okay just being your friend, you know, y'all are in a friendship zone, or y'all, he, you know, he wants to take some time to get to know you, it's all BS. It's all BS. All right, it's all, and basically it's not even BS, it's he wants to have sex with you, and that's it. Now, this is some other stuff I wanted to talk about. Somebody said, well, look, can you go in a little bit more into more detail on this office romances stuff? Should I or should I not date men who I work with? Should I? What's the consequence? Let's talk about that real quick because, you know, this is how it goes down. It starts with the attraction. Then it leads to the flirting. And then you start looking at these corporate events, you know, these corporate America events. Like you got the happy hour, the job-sponsored happy hours, you know how those things go, the late night, you know, overtime shifts, you know, the corporate picnic, maybe even a job formal, some alcohol is involved, you start seeing people, you know, who, for who they truly are. That's where a lot of hooking up happens. That's where a lot of love connections are made. A lot of, there's even water cooler romances, you know, just that person you always see when you go to refill your water jug or whatever. You know, you happen to take your break at the same time, so you happen to wait at the elevator for them. You know you're going to see that person at the elevator, so you know, you throw in a little bit of extra perfume, you know, 10 minutes before you know it's time for your break. You know what I mean? You guys, come on, trust me. There's nothing I don't know. I know everything. I've been in corporate America for years. Everything there is to know about corporate America, I've experienced it. Courtney, you know all about those little rendezvous at the water cooler, the elevator breaks and stuff. Am I mean, am I lying? Are the things I'm saying inaccurate?
It's very true. It's very true. And those are opportunities that, you know, we as women who, I should say, that flirt a lot, those are opportunities that we capitalize on. We'll, you know, keep a comb in our purse to, like, you know, do our hair or refresh our makeup, and we'll have all that stuff set just so we can look nice when we interact with that man that we plan to flirt with.
Right, at that particular time, like, you know, you plan it out. Like, I'll be at the elevator at a break. I'm like, yo, hold up. Like, did you just spray this on? Like, you know when someone just sprayed perfume, or, like, you sprayed it on in the morning. Like, you just resprayed it. Like, why did you do that? You know what I mean? And it's like, well, okay, I see what it's hitting for. We pick up on those things. You didn't just do that and just get away with it. Now, we may not call you on it, but that's a form of flirting. You know, now we're thinking, okay, cool, check next to her name, that's someone who I can smash. So he stores that little piece of information away, and then he waits for his time, and then y'all have sex. That's how it goes. You know, but because he feels as though he probably has to disguise his motives, you know, he you know, will say, let's go grab something to eat. You know, what are you doing after work? Let's go get a couple of drinks. So now you're thinking, oh, my gosh, men don't even ask me out. You know, he didn't really ask me out. He said, let's go get some drinks. So it's not really a date, but, you know, it's better than nothing. So let me go home and, you know, let me go out with him. You know, Friday night. You guys know. I mean, I know all about happy hour. All right, guys. Now, sometimes those things can develop in the office, you know, romances and actual love. I mean, it happens. But what you want to do is you want to be careful about it. You want to make sure, because when, you know, you're thinking of the good times, the good, how it could play out. But what if it goes bad? You know what I'm saying? What if, you know, God forbid, y'all have sex and now y'all decide not to talk anymore, and she tells all her other coworkers that you were bad in bed or that you're a bastard. Now, you know, now you have a reputation at work. One of the people that she told just so happens to be the supervisor, the man who's cool with the manager, who happens to be cool with the HR professional, who happens to be, you know, next in line for the freaking director position, and now you have, your name is mud. Now, you forget your job performance. You sit down in that interview for your promotion that you should probably get, but because your name is now mud around the building with some key individuals, that's where the office politics, you know, she's nobody, but she just badmouthed you to some key people that she's cool with. Now you get no promotion. You might as well get on Monster.com and start looking for a new job, because you ain't going nowhere in that company. That's the downside of that. What you know about that, Courtney?
Now, see, I've seen the flip side where the guy, you know, he slept with the woman and, you know, I guess it didn't work out or whatever. She tells all her coworkers, but instead of them being turned off, they're turned on. So next thing you know, another one of them is sleeping with them. And next thing you know, he's sleeping with the whole office. I've seen that.
But see, that's the thing. All those situations are linked, because that's what, all of those things will happen simultaneously, or could potentially happen simultaneously. How do I know that? I've done it. I've done a lot of this stuff. But I know people. I've been that supervisor. I've been in HR. I've heard the rumors. And so what happens is, yeah, he has sex with the one chick. She tells all her girlfriends. They get turned on. So, yeah, he goes and has sex with the coworkers, you know? So now he's having sex with, like, three or four women. It's all good, but eventually somebody's going to catch feelings. Somebody's going to feel some type of way. You see what I mean, Corey? You can't just have a guy having sex with all these women and then remain on good terms with all of them.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. And, you know, the situation that I'm referring to, the guy wound up marrying one of the women. And that caused the whole issue. And, you know, they had a baby together, and it was just drama.
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, and I would just tell this to the fellas, I wouldn't think it would be worth it. I mean, depending on the chick, I mean, you can try your luck, but I wouldn't really risk it. There are too many women out here. You know, it's not really that serious. That's your money. You don't play around with your money, your stability, your livelihood. You know, I probably wouldn't do it. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. I know how it is. You know, back in the day, I was a pretty bold dude. Just thinking about one story in particular, I've never told this story. This is something that, you know, I couldn't even imagine somebody doing something like this. But, and why am I going to tell this story? Who knows? This story has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I just feel like being real. I just feel like telling real stories. You okay with me telling a real story, Courtney?
Go ahead.
This is like I said, a lot of these stories you guys have heard before over the last 4 years. We're coming up on 5 years, guys. Time flies. But I don't think I've ever told this. Actually, I know I've never told this one. I was talking to this chick one time, young woman I was dealing with, and we were dealing with each other. But the funny thing about it is she had this friend. And, I mean, the woman I was dealing with was cool. I knew that we would never progress to anything. We didn't really even have that good chemistry. I mean, she was just cool. She actually was a Muslim. And she was, like I said, she was just cool. It was really nothing. It was really a big waste of time. She was like one of like four women I was dealing with at the time. But the thing about it is that she had a friend, a best friend actually. And her friend and I really had this chemistry, okay? I mean, now that's kind of weird. I know, like, in fact, I hooked my homie up with her friend and we went out on a double date. Now, we were all chilling, but the thing about it is, Courtney, you know what I'm talking about. You know, and you have chemistry with someone who you're not supposed to have chemistry with.
Yeah.
You know
yes.
about that.
Yeah, I know all about that.
So, you know, me and the chick, and it's like she knew it. Like there was that flirting thing that we've been talking about all night. It's like two attractive people. It's like this uncontrollable force that was like drawing us together. And what's crazy is, and I was just that dude. Now, most men in that situation, it's like, hey, you know, it is what it is. You just got to chalk that one up. Turns out my homie and her didn't click at all. So they went their separate ways. And I just was bold. I said, hey, you know, me and the chick we're not going anywhere. I'm definitely not going to, we have no future. So I just, you know, put it all on black. Let it ride. I said, what the heck? I hit up the friend. Told her, I said, hey, what's up, man? You know what I mean? What's going on? Like, what, you know, what's up with me? Maybe we hang out sometimes. She was just like, you know, and it didn't work out. You know what I mean? She actually told the chick. You know what I mean? She told her friend, and that was that. And I got cussed out by the chick, you know, that I was dealing with. She told me not to call her anymore. You know, what's the moral to that story? How do you think I responded to that, Courtney?
I don't know. You tell us.
No, do you? Let me just ask you this. Do you think, see, a lot of people thought it was going to be like this Bill Bellamy type of story where I had sex with, but nah, come on. This isn't like a, you know, that. No, it doesn't work out like that all the time. And the reality is some men, you know, just genuinely don't care anything about you. And they are willing to do the things that you wouldn't even expect most people would do. I'm telling y'all that because a lot of people, actually I was talking to a young woman today actually, never put anything past a guy who genuinely doesn't see you as his wife. You understand that? Because again, either he sees you as a wife or he sees you as expendable, as a hoe, as a booty call, a freak, a jump off. There is no in between there. There is no middle ground. It's one or the other. Clearly I didn't see her as a wife. So I viewed her as the type of woman who I really didn't care. I basically tried to talk to her best friend, you know. It would have been worth it if it paid off. She was very much so gorgeous, you know what I mean? And so, yeah. But I guess the point of it is I didn't care, you know what I'm saying? I lost no sleep over that. I wasn't embarrassed. Yes, she cussed me out, tried to tell me off. I said, well, look, you have a nice life. You know what I mean? How about that, Courtney? Any thoughts?
I did not expect the story to go that direction.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, a lot of people, y'all think these stories all end in, like, some crazy, you know, Superman type of way. No, this is, you know, it doesn't always work out, not even for the OG players.
Wow.
You know, but I think that what separates certain men, like some men wouldn't even have done that. They wouldn't even have tried. Some men would have tried and got played and felt bad. You know, it just was what it was. So, you know, I just like to tell real stories. And really, you know, you can draw your own conclusions. You can take from it what you will. All right? Let's keep it moving, man. Like I said, we're not going to be here all night. We're not going till midnight, none of that stuff, man. I'm going to get off the air, get something to eat, watch some reruns of Law & Order SVU. Courtney, you ever watch Law & Order?
Believe it or not, no.
No, SVU is the best show of all time. Probably my second favorite show of all time. Classic.
Wow.
And you guys out there too. I give all types of advice. If y'all, this is what y'all see. The things that we talk about will help you. What you do with this is the key to success. This is the key to finding love. What you do, you just chill. Because a lot of times boredom leads to sex. It leads to dealing with someone who you know you shouldn't be dealing with. See, when you're going out, you know, a lot of y'all should be chilling watching the USA marathon of Law & Order SVU. Because it's right now it's probably the best show on TV, hands down. Even still, it's on live, but also the reruns are like some of the best shows ever. So what you do is, on a Friday night, you get yourself some popcorn, you put on your freaking tights, your wife beater, you do some sit-ups, you do some crunches, you do some Pilates, while you watch Law & Order SVU, and you turn your phone off. You tell your girlfriend you're in for the night, you don't accept any of these calls from these losers. In fact, you answer the phone, you tell them not to call you anymore. So, and you develop a pattern. So your pattern is, yes, you're just in the crib, you're chilling, you're a homebody, you're focusing on yourself physically, spiritually, you get up and you feel refreshed, you go to church Sunday morning, you don't have the guilt, you don't have the conviction, you've got a chance to watch some of the greatest television ever, and you're good, that's your life. And the man that you're going to marry will watch you, he will observe your lifestyle. Not a lifestyle of being in the club every weekend, not a lifestyle of having random dudes taking you out on meaningless dates, but you will watch the Law & Order SVU marathon every day, all day, and on the weekends, and you'll be good. I'm telling you, you won't be influenced by these basketball wives, by Love & Hip Hop, all these reality, those shows will corrupt you. They will put you into a certain mind state. That's why I specifically said Law & Order. It's a good, entertaining show, but it's not, you know, stop watching these black shows. They give you they mess you up. Go watch reruns of Seinfeld. Get into 24. You know, watch the Real Housewives of freaking Beverly Hills or something. I'd rather y'all watch that than these black shows. I'm telling y'all, some people will listen, some people won't, man. Courtney, am I lying to these people?
No, not at all.
That's the lifestyle that'll get you love.
That sounds like mine right now.
And you're on your way to finding love.
Thank you.
That's it. I'm telling y'all, that's what my wife did. When I met her, she was chilling. Like, so, and mind you, I was going out to the club. I would hit her up on my way to the club. Like, so what's up? What you getting into tonight? Oh, nothing. Just chilling. Probably clean up the crib a little bit. Watch a little TV, then go to sleep. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, send her, I'll be out at the club. Send her a little text message. You know, hey, just thinking about you. And this was before we were even in a relationship. You know what I'm saying? So y'all, a lot of y'all have no idea what you're doing. You're doing it all wrong. A lot of women, even women listening to this show right now, are thinking negatively. They're thinking, hold on. So they're getting that attitude. They're poking out their lip, getting all ready. They're probably sweating right now. Got to go take another shower before work just because listening to the show got them all perspiring. They done. So that's kind of hypocritical, isn't it? I mean, why is it okay for you to go to the club, but you expect us women to just be sitting in the house? Like, I and what I tell them is I say, look, Why don't you ask my wife? Why don't you ask her why I decided to marry her? Why don't you, you know what I'm saying? That is what we are looking for. Now, the difference is, what you don't hear is, yeah, I was in the club at that time, but ask me the last time I've been in a club. You see what I'm saying? Ask me, did I stop going to the club once I realized that she was a special woman? Ask me the things that she did that caused me to cut off the other women that I was talking to and delete all those numbers out of my phone. See, a lot of people, they only see what they want to see. They only see the points that they want to disagree with. They don't see the big picture. What's wrong with these ladies? What's wrong with your female counterparts, Courtney?
I mean, I can't even say anything because that was me at one point, you know, debating about everything. And it was a point where I was out every single weekend, to the point where if it was a weekend that I didn't go out, I would be, like, depressed. I didn't know what to do with myself if I was in the house. It would be like, it was crazy. That's how it used to be. So I went from partying every weekend to not going out at all, just being a homebody. Like, I wash and condition my hair on weekends and watch TV. That's what I do. And I'm in
that's
the group.
It. And on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's it. Listen, don't a lot of y'all don't know. The Dayton Tolbert Show airs 7 nights a week. It's the only show in the world that airs 7 nights a week. Okay? I don't care if it's a rerun. I don't care if we're live. If you haven't heard it, that's what you need to be doing. Now, if you haven't heard it, then, yeah, you do something else. But most likely, if you're a new listener, I can almost guarantee you haven't heard one of the rebroadcasts. So listen. Listen to the show. If you don't feel like going on there, go to the archives. There are thousands of shows. You know what I mean? Well over 1,000 different shows you could just click and listen to at any given time. That is going to be the lifestyle that will bring about, that will make a man look at you and say, wow, okay, I'm feeling her lifestyle. You guys know that men don't wife up women who go to the clubs, right? That's the crazy thing about it. Like, if we're going to the club and we're seeing that we're familiar with the environment and you're actually a part of that lifestyle, that doesn't make sense. You know, that's like someone trying to quit smoking, but he's going to make new friends who smoke. It's probably not going to work out too well. You know what I mean? If we're trying to leave the club lifestyle, that whole party scene, we're not going to marry someone who's still in that party scene. We're going to marry the woman who is going to be conducive to the lifestyle that we want to get into. So, gosh, man. Courtney, I mean, what the heck is going on here, man? Do people listen to me, Courtney? Are we reaching people? Are they listening to the things that we're saying?
Yeah, they are. But at the same rate, there are people that still, no matter what is said to them, want to do what they want to do. And just going back just to that lifestyle and being in the club and being that party girl, it's crazy because you would think, like a lot of people think, that that's just for your 20s. I see, like, women when I was in that lifestyle in their 30s, 40s, like old enough to be my mother in there. And I'm looking at them like, what are you still doing here? So a lot of women, they don't leave that. They can't let go. It's a mentality. They can't let it go. And it's sad.
It's sad because there's, I don't know if y'all know about this, there's this whole other, it's like you graduate. Once you get a certain age, you don't go to the regular clubs anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like when you, like there's like the 21 and up. And I think like when you hit 30, a lot of times, even really before that, but it's like you're borderline. But after you get to like 35 and older, that's when you start going to like the line dancing clubs. You know what I'm talking about? The clubs where they be wobbling at, you know, that wobbling crap. And, you know, I don't even know all those. I don't know none. I'm not into that. But, you know what I'm saying? That's like the next step. It's like the 30 and over clubs, 35 and up and up. You know, you got like 40 grandmoms in there coming in with the desk. But my point is some people, that's what they do. The fellas don't stop. I thought that people just stop clubbing after a certain point. They never stop. They just go to that next crowd. So, and that's, oh, man, the lifestyle still continues. you know about that. Is that where you're going to be, Courtney? You're going to be at the, you going to be wobbling? Wobble away.
I used to, though. Like, you know, that was a thing that we, you know, do. Because in Chicago, we do a lot of line dances, you know.
Oh, okay.
So that, I mean, that's big here. And so, yeah, that was the thing to do in the club. But I'm not going to be doing that, like, as an old woman. But it's crazy. The old women at the club kicking it. It's beyond me. That's crazy.
I'll leave that lifestyle alone, man. Leave that. Actually, no, I can't say. No, my sister-in-law, she's one of those instructors. So, I mean, and so we, you know, sometimes me and my wife, we go out for a good time and just kind of go to that stuff, do some stepping and the line dancing and all that stuff. I mean, you know, it's a good time, you know, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of the people there would rather be, you know, married, chilling on a Saturday night, watching Law and Order SVU with their spouse. Now, I just got to work on my wife. I haven't really converted her to watching the reruns. She still likes The Real Housewives and stuff like that, but working on her. People are like, yeah, what is he talking about tonight, man? They're talking about everything. But that, you know, sometimes we switch it up. We're going to get ready to wrap it up, man. Get up out of here, man. It's in tonight's show. But I actually want to end it with one little question here. Who was this? Actually, somebody posted this in the group. I told them I would touch on it. Somebody asked, they said, lately they've been hearing a lot of people using the term significant other when they describe their current relationship. Can anybody please enlighten me on what this means and help me understand how a man or a woman becomes a significant other? And that's a really good question. And it's unfortunate because, Courtney, you know, I mean, you see people using that term. It's like my significant other, my friend, my dude,
my guy.
My boo, my guy. Right, that's another one, my guy. What is that, Courtney? What does that mean?
My friend with benefits. That's what that is, because those are terms that I use interchangeably. Like, it all meant, you know, a friend with benefits that I was having sex with. I couldn't call them my boyfriend, so I used other terms to make it seem like we were in a relationship, but we weren't.
And I guess, and these are very, very, like, very common and very noticeable terms. Like, they stand out like a sore thumb. You know, like, you're not fooling anybody. And the thing about it is, you don't even hear men using those terms. If you hear a man using, or who would, you know, need to use one of those terms or need to refer to you in that manner, he's just going to be like, yo, this chick. You know, he's like, yo, my jump off, or, you know, I'm trying to think, what do we even say? This chick I'm rapping to, you know, I don't even want this hoe. You know, I mean, it's really unfortunate, too, that a lot of women don't know how they're being referred to by men. You're trying to glamorize it. We as men are purposely degrading and purposely downplaying it. Like, we don't want men or women to think that you're our girlfriend, whereas you are in that same relationship with that same guy. You're trying to hype it up like you're, you know, our girlfriend. Told y'all that story years ago. I'll tell y'all again real quick. I was in a club, and I ran into this young woman. And I'm like, she's just like, hey. I'm like, oh, what's up? Because, you know, being an author, like, I just, people tend to recognize me sometimes when I go out, especially here in Philly. And I don't always recognize them. And, you know, she was like, hey, Daydon, what's up? I was like, oh, hey, what's going on? I said, and she's like, what's up? Like, I was just like, I was trying to give her a handshake because I thought she was just someone who listened to the show or whatever. And I didn't recognize. She's like, come on. She's like, please, but you don't recognize me? I'm like, no. She's like, no, you know, your friend, you know, where's your friend at? I'm like, who? And we'll call him John. His name isn't John, but we'll just call him John for sake of anonymity. But she's like, yeah, where's John at? I'm like, you know, I'm John's girlfriend. I'm like, oh, you are? And like, I just saw him the other day, and I mean, she was not his girlfriend. This was not someone who he was claiming. She basically thought she was more than what she was to him. And so I had to go back to them to him, and I was like, yo, what's up, man? I saw your girl, you know, laughing, like joking. When I was like, yo, I saw your girl in the club. He's like, what? Who? Like, you know, I ain't got no girl. I said, hey, she thinks she's your girl. He's like, oh, please. He said, what she look like? I said, dang, how many do you deal with? He didn't know who I was talking about. That's how many women he was dealing with that could have potentially thought that, you know, they were his girlfriend. That's crazy, right, Courtney?
I remember this story. Yeah, it's crazy, but, I mean, that's how it is. That's how a lot of us women will, you know, try to, you know, make ourselves believe that, you know, we're the girlfriend. But I think I've done that, like, just to myself, tried to convince myself, but I would never, like, introduce myself as that person's girlfriend. That's, like, on a whole, that's a different level.
Yeah, so. It's crazy. And I think that deep down, and we even got to talking a little bit, like, it's funny that I've always been kind of like a counselor, and this was when I was in the club, like, partying heavy, not really counseling anybody, but I kind of gave her a little advice session right then and there, because she was very, you could tell. I said, well, what's up with y'all? Like, she was like, man, he don't know what he wants. He doesn't, you know, he knows he wants to be with me, but, you know, he's just not ready right now. He's trying to do that whole player thing, and, I mean, yeah, I'm willing to go along with it right now, but, I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to stick around, because I really want to be committed, I want to be settled, and he just, you know, I love him, but he's just not ready. He's not ready, and I just wanted to tell her, like, yo, it's not that he's not ready. He just doesn't want you. He doesn't, you know what I mean? He's never going to be ready for you. And I'd say that to all many women nowadays who use that term. They say, my significant other, my guy, you know, he's just not ready right now. He's never going to be ready. Ladies, hear me on this. And this is like one of the last things y'all should, I mean, really take this away from tonight's show, is that we as men are always ready. I don't care what anybody tells you. We're always ready. You know what I mean? We are ready and able to commit. I don't care what's going on in our life. I don't care what trials, tribulations, roadblocks. If we meet that special woman, we will commit ASAP. Okay? I don't care about money. I don't care about nothing that's going on. When you meet that special one, you don't let that special one get away, because you don't know, you know, when you know, lightning will strike again. So you do what you got to do. It's kind of like if you know, you see a nice pair of boots. It's getting cold out. It's about to be boot season. You see these $300 boots. You know they're on sale. You see them on sale for $129.99 on clearance. They're $300 boots. Courtney, if you try on those boots, they're the last pair, they're your size, and those boots fit perfectly, and they're like, what is that? I don't freaking get to calculate. What, 60% off, something like that? You know, something. Are you going to leave those boots there and hope that they're there the next time you come back to that store?
No, I'm going to buy them that day.
You're going to buy them right then and there, one, because you want the boots. Two, because you don't want anybody, you don't want to take a chance at leaving and having somebody else come back and get your boots that you really wanted. Now, Courtney, if you leave the boots there, what does that mean about the boots?
It means I didn't want them.
Exactly. You didn't want them. Ladies, if he leaves you out there and gives you the excuses as to why he can't buy the boots, the excuses as to why he can't commit to you, all that should tell you is that he doesn't want you. It means that the boots are cool, but, you know, I'll just go to another store and see if I can find another pair for the same price. Or if I don't find them, hey, I'm not going to lose sleep either way. It's not a big deal. Don't be those pair of boots that gets left on the shelf. Be the boots that man or that woman cannot live without. You guys get the analogy by now. You know what I'm saying? So on that note, we're going to wrap it up tonight. You know, tune in tomorrow night for a special rebroadcast it. I've been feeling some type of way. I've been feeling in one of those moods, Courtney. I may dig out a classic show from the archives just for tomorrow night, keeping it real Friday. Do you think I should do that? Do you think I should maybe dig into the crates for that classic show that me and Gerald, who did that show with us? Was it just me and Gerald? You know what show I'm talking about, Courtney.
You have to refresh my memory. What was the title of it?
I don't even want to say the title, Courtney.
How you gonna just say it's a show that you and Gerald did? You did a lot of shows with Gerald.
That classic Friday night show, the craziest. I'll tell y'all. In fact, I don't even want to talk about it. Shows I probably shouldn't even rebroadcast it tomorrow. Shouldn't even be talking about it because it was uncharacteristic for the new format of this show. But a couple years ago, Gerald and I did a classic show about sex. It was actually entitled Sex 101, where what we did was we because, you know, the reality is we've been making some jokes, been having some fun tonight, but the reality is, you know, people are having sex out here, okay? And, you know, I would always rather be that guy to talk about it from a real perspective than to act like it's not going on and have people walking around out here with misinformation. So Gerald and I, a couple years ago, we did a classic show. We actually did a couple. We did a part one and a part two. It was entitled Sex 101, where we did nothing but answer your sex questions, as, you know, how men feel about sex, what is good sex, what's bad sex, what's going on with sex, what makes, you know, just everything about sex. Should I rebroadcast that show tomorrow, Courtney?
I think so. Now I'm glad you refreshed my memory. I remember this show now.
That show was great.
It really was. And like you said, it's uncharacteristically different in format. It's not like, you know, how we're doing it now. But at the same time, people do need to know. So I'll leave that, you know, to your discretion, what you want to do.
Yeah, it was not a show from a biblical perspective. You know what I mean? But, you know, it is what it is. Tune in to Keeping It Real Fridays. Tune in 7 nights a week. If I play it, I play it. If I don't, I don't. Either way, it'll be a good show one way or the other. I'm just messing with you. I play it. I don't care. It is what it is. Look, guys, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. If you need counseling, you need any type of advice, private advice, call me anonymously, privately, 24 hours a day, 855-55-DATE-ON. Or email me at info@trctoday.com. Valentine's Day, mark your calendars. The release of The Love We Had, get it on Kindle. I posted the link. Courtney, I didn't get a chance to ask you. What did you think about the excerpt?
I went for the next one for you to post.
You enjoyed it?
I really did. It was good. Like it was you know, a little cliffhanger. It was just like left me on the edge of my seat. Like I wanted to know what was going to happen next. So you know I'm excited. So
look, guys, I'm telling y'all, I'm not hyping it up, but The Love We Had is, anyone who I know has read it, most people have told me like, yo, that's like one of their favorite books of all time. It was released 5 years ago. I'm re-releasing it on the 5-year anniversary of it. Get it Valentine's Day. It's the deluxe edition. I even added a couple of new scenes, a couple of new chapters. Even if you've read it, it's different. So get it again. I was a newbie in the literary industry in 2005. Didn't know anything about it. I know a lot more, so it's bigger, better. Get it. Now, that's it, guys. So, look, thank you all for listening. And, Courtney, any last words of wisdom, anything you want to leave the people with?
I don't really have much to say today. I just am chilling out, but thank you for having me on the show. And I do want to say, I don't think I said it on the show, congratulations to the young woman who sent you the testimony. You personally inspired me, and I know that you inspired many women out there. So, Daydon, keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, I appreciate it, Courtney, definitely. Thank you for being here as well. And look, guys, you know, great, let me just tell you, great testimony. That happened to her. These are real stories. I don't think she would even mind if I tagged her in the status. You know, this is, you know, you guys have heard tons of women calling. If you want help, you know, if you want to change your life, if you want love, if you want a testimony of like that for yourself, if you want me to be talking about you, how your life has been changed, yo, all it is a phone call. So, look, guys, thank y'all for listening, and I'll talk to y'all tomorrow night. All right, peace.
Friday night, you and your boys went out to eat. Said they hung out, but you came home around 3. Yes, you did. If 6 of y'all went out, then 4 of you were really cheap. Yeah, 'cause only 2 of you had dinner. I found your credit card receipt. It's not right.